Hello, welcome back to the fourth episode of the Dave and Hesitant podcast. So, today it's going to be a little bit more fitness than usual, which is kind of my area of expertise, I suppose. It's what I'm interested in anyways. So the last few have been a little bit more introduction based, kind of talking about everything. So I kind of want to more focus on fitness, mindset, health from now on. So today I'm going to just talk a little bit about things I've learned over the last week or two. Kind of over the last probably month, but more put them into practice over the last couple of weeks. So one of the things I talked about on my Instagram yesterday, and that was leaving your ego at the door. So a lot of people in the gym, and definitely what I used to do, is you'd go in and you'd base your workout on kind of who was watching you. You'd lift heavier if there was people in the gym or if there's people you're trying to impress, and then you'd do your actual workout if you're on your own. So I try and train now as if no one's watching. So I keep the end goal in mind. For me, that is a little bit of muscular endurance, mostly body composition based. So keeping it all quality of reps and time under tension, focusing on nice, slow and controlled, not thinking about, okay, I know I have to do 8 to 10 reps, but I bet I can go heavier and just sacrifice form, and then people think I'm stronger. Like, fuck that. So what, and I found that helps with a lot of things. So even with this podcast now, I'm going to talk about the things that I kind of want to talk about. If people like it, great. If they don't, whatever. It's kind of a good way of me to vent what I'm thinking as well, getting it out there, and then I can listen to it back and be like, okay, is that really what I meant when I said that? You know, it's just a good way of kind of soundboarding what I'm thinking. So just whenever you're going into the gym, whatever it is in life, go in there with the end goal in mind more so than trying to feed your ego. Like, it's a lot easier to just go, oh yeah, if I lift heavy now, someone might say, geez, you're strong. But it's like, what's that going to matter next week, you know? When you didn't make progress because you were too focused on what other people thought, more so than your end goal. Another thing is, so last weekend I went to Brian Kane's Rewire Your Mindset seminar and got so much from that, always do. A lot of it, like, I would have heard before because I listen to his podcast religiously, watch his Q&As in the morning. But it was just, it's a lot different, I suppose, when you see him in person. It just personalizes a lot more. And some of the stories, obviously, were a bit more personal than what he'd put out on podcasts. But what I got from it really was just not putting people on a pedestal that you see on social media and just realizing that they're a real person. So with him, like, I don't do that too much, but just when I, like, let's say I plan on getting up at 5 a.m. some morning and I get up at 10 past and I'm like, oh, the day's fucked. Fuck it. I was like, people are really successful. When they say they're going to get up at 5, they get up at 5. And it's like, no, like, they're human. Like, sometimes your alarm doesn't go off. Sometimes, like, you wake up and then things don't go exactly to plan. Things never go perfectly. Whereas, like, I'm always there thinking, oh, things aren't gone perfect, so it's fucked. And it's like, no. It's like, it's never going to be perfect. You just have to make the most of what you're doing. If you have a clear intentions of why you're doing something, just keep that in mind and keep pushing towards that. So, like, for me, my goal in life is every day go out and just try and make the fitness space and just improve at least some person's life ever so slightly. So, like, even if it's giving someone a free trial at training session at the gym, or if someone comes into the gym for the first time, showing them around, just breaking down the barrier they have with getting into the gym, showing them a few things to do, even if that's the only thing they know how to do in the gym is what you just showed them, it's still a start. They can come in, do that once a week, and then at least it starts to break down the stigma they have with going to the gym. So keep that in mind, what it is that you want to achieve. And when things don't go to plan, like, oh, I planned on doing this at this time and this time, and then something comes up, you can't do it, the whole day isn't fucked. You just have to realize before you even start, things aren't going to go the way that you want. So you just have to make the most of it. If you wait for perfection, you'll never get anything done. You just have to do your best of what you got and just enjoy it. What else have I learned over the last couple of weeks? So just as well as that, things take a lot longer than you expect always. So with like being a personal trainer, I expected to take a long time, but I had prepared myself for that. But for a lot of people, I'd imagine going into it, it's really, really slow for the start. Like, it's a lot of doing hours without any money coming in. And to be honest, I've dealt with it quite well, because I really had expected it. Like, I'd been planning to do this for a good while, and I'd saved up money to do it because I knew I'd have no income for a while. And that's just kind of the way it is when you're going off on a venture like this. If you're thinking about doing it, maybe start doing it part-time on the side. But for me, it was kind of, when I go into it, I want to go full hog at it, put a lot of time into it, because even now when I'm not making much money at it, I still really enjoy it. It doesn't feel like work at all, and I've time to do things like this, like the podcast, whereas if I was working and doing the training on the side, I wouldn't have that much time for anything else. Big topic I want to talk about on fitness is, should you count calories and macros? So there's a huge split on this, because people think, oh, if I count my calories, I'll develop an eating disorder, I'll be too, I don't know, obsessed with food. And it's like, well, you're not in the shape that you want to be because you can't stop eating food, or you won't eat more food, or you won't eat the amount that you should be. So it doesn't really get, like, it, obviously that's not an eating disorder, but you know, you're not eating the way you want to as it is. So what's the worst that can happen? You end up back where you are, where you're not happy with how much you're eating, because, or you're not happy with how you look because of the amount you're eating. So you might as well do it and at least get a gauge for where you're at. So, like, let's say, I'll give you two scenarios here. Scenario number one, you are quite thin. You want to gain muscle. You say that you're eating loads. Like, oh yeah, I'm eating so much, I'm full all the time, still I just never gain weight. It's like, no, it's like you're not eating enough. There's no person ever in the history of the world that has eaten more calories than they've burnt and not gained weight. Every single person who has ate in a calorie surplus has gained weight. Unless you start eating and then just stop drinking water, then maybe for a couple of days you won't gain weight. But after you've dried out, you will. Okay? Then, scenario number two. Oh, I'm dieting, but I'm not seeing much results. Okay, are you counting your calories? Are you counting your macros? No. So you're not tracking? No. Then how do you know you're in a deficit? How do you know you're in a calorie deficit? Well, you don't. That's kind of the fact of the matter. Because even if you've gone and figured out what your basal metabolic rate is, whatever way you did it, maybe on MyFitnessPal, you might have misjudged your amount of activity, whatever it is. So then you start eating this amount, whatever amount you come up with. You're eyeballing it because you're not tracking. You're probably way off. Even if you're 300 calories off, that could be the difference between being in a deficit or a surplus. Then the actual basal metabolic rate you worked out, you could have completely highballed it. So then you're actually in quite a bit of a surplus. And then you're eating that because you think you're doing it right. So you're eating it with full confidence and making sure you're eating all the food that you've laid out for that day, even if you're not that hungry and you're putting yourself into a surplus. So what you should be doing is tracking. Let's say after a week or 2 weeks, there's no change, you're not down in weight. Then, okay, now I need to go down by another 200 calories. See if that starts making a difference. Week two, you've leveled off. Okay, it'll take another 200 calories off maybe next week. And then you start to see a decline. Then you're like, okay, this is where I'm at. So you stick with that for as long as you can until it plateaus again. You stop losing fat or losing weight, whatever way you want to do it. And then you go, okay, plateaued. What's the next thing I can change? Maybe I'll add in some cardio or some exercise or some training that's going to create more of a deficit, and I'll keep eating the same food. How do I know I'm eating the same food? Because I'm tracking it. Then that you start to lose weight again, then you plateau again, then you're either where you want to be and you're going to maintain at that, or you're like, okay, I want to lose a little bit more of a deficit, either an extra day training or a little bit more of a calorie deficit made through food. Literally, the only way you can do it is if you're in a deficit, if you're eating less than you're burning, you're going to lose weight. If you're eating more, you're going to gain weight. It's literally simple balance, calorie balance. If this, you hearing me saying this is like, oh, what do you know? Yada, yada, yada. I don't need to track. All these influencers that I watch, they say that you can just eat intuitively. Okay, then why haven't you? And if it is annoying that I'm saying this, if it didn't resonate whatsoever, it wouldn't be annoying you. If it is annoying you a little bit, you're probably like, deep down, you know that I'm right, and you're kind of like, well, I don't want to deal with that right now. And that's fine too, but just don't lie to yourself about it, and don't say that I'm wrong for saying that you have to do this. You don't have to, but if you want to reach your goals, and your goals are based on body composition, then you do. Basically, even me, like, I've been training for quite a while. Unless you're eating the same thing every day, then you do need to track it, because I like to eat different stuff most days, just because I like a bit of variety in my life, you know, variety, spice of life. Like to enjoy my food. Sometimes I eat out. Then just need to track it, like, within reason. You know, I'm not obsessive about it, and I didn't get obsessive about it by doing it. Some people can, I guess. You're probably not going to. But you know how much calories you've left for your dinner then in the evening, or your last meal. You know whether you can have a large meal or a small meal. If you've only 200 calories left and you have the same dinner every day, then it's like, okay, clearly you need to have a smaller meal, or else you have to save up more calories for your dinner. Do you know, you can just kind of, it's like a bank balance. You just have to budget it throughout the day. And if you're not tracking it, you obviously won't. Like, let's say your bank account, if you couldn't check the balance and you were just spending, how would you know if you had any money left? How would you know if you were overspending, underspending? If you didn't track your income or your expenditure, you'd have absolutely no idea. You wouldn't be able to save money. Maybe, like, that's the thing. Some people then don't spend much and they just be making money because they wouldn't be, that's just the way they'd be. They wouldn't spend much. Well, then you'd start gaining money. Other people would start going into debt. You know, so it's just, you have to think about it like that. If you don't track it, if it's not measured, you can't improve. Then, yeah, and what I was saying as well, if this bothers you to hear this, then maybe it's because you just don't want to deal with it. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I don't know you specifically, but it's just something to think about. Is the reason that you're not tracking because you're not bothered? Or is it genuinely because you think it won't benefit you? Yeah, and then with exercise, if you want to gain muscle, comes into training, not ego lifting. Train. If you're training for body composition to build muscle, hypertrophy, you want to be in that 8 to 12 rep range, 3 to 4 sets, nice, slow, controlled, time under tension. Obviously, you can go really heavy and do other things, but you're just going to increase your risk of injury for the same amount of reward. So, as I said, leave your ego at the door. Train smart. Obviously, I know I'm not the biggest or in the best shape of anyone, but I still know the science behind it. I need, like, if you need someone to keep you accountable, get a trainer. They'll keep you accountable to it. If you have a trainer who just starts prescribing supplements without looking at your diet, then obviously not a very good trainer. If they're telling you, oh, lift heavy, obviously they have the wrong end goal in mind. And yeah, just with influencers as well, a lot of them are just naturally in shape. So you'll see a lot of influencers that are like, oh yeah, I eat intuitively. But that's because they've never been out of shape. They've been born with whatever their genetics, so that they were never overweight, they didn't struggle, they reacted well to training. The training stimulus made them gain quite a bit of muscle. Or even some people just naturally have abs and a good frame. So then they're like, oh yeah, I just eat intuitively. if you want to be like me, it's like, well, for the majority of people, they're never going to be like you. And they kind of take advantage of the fact that they were born with that. And some of them mightn't even realize that that's just them. But if you look at trainers who have been out of shape and then got into shape, take out obviously these keto people are like, do you know that, oh, I lost 500 pounds by doing keto. Look at the stretch marks I have from it. Yeah, like there's a lot easier ways to lose weight than keto. And one of them is just calorie deficit. Keep, like, what I recommend to a lot of my clients is eat what you're eating, but make it fit into your calories and your macros. You want to hit your protein, you want to hit your carbs, you still need a bit of fat, but don't try and do like a crazy keto diet. If the whole reason that you're out of shape is because you couldn't stick to a diet or because you can't restrict your eating, then why would you go on the most restrictive diet there is, like keto or paleo or whatever it is, and you start cutting out foods that you enjoy? Just eat the amounts that will help you to hit your calories and your macros. Don't eat more or less than them. And don't try and say, oh, I'm going to cut out carbs because then you'll lose weight. It's like, yeah, maybe for a week, but then you're not going to stick to it and you're going to end up rebounding and you're just going to be back to where you were feeling like you failed. And you didn't. The only reason you failed is because you made it harder than it needed to be. Adherence is number one when it comes to any change in body composition. If you can't stick to it, then what's the point? Do you know? That's kind of, you're better off doing a decent diet for a year, or one that you can stick to for the rest of your life, than the world's greatest diet for losing weight for a week. Just think about that. Because there's all these silver bullets that's like, oh, do a juice diet for a week, I'm going to lose 10 kilos in a month, or whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, but after that month, you're going to put on 12 kilos. And then you're back to the worst position. What are you going to do it again, and then end up 14 kilos heavier than you were at the start? You know? Like, most of you listening aren't going to be competitors in bodybuilding, so why do that extreme dieting just to bounce back? You want something, you want to get to a desired body composition, a realistic one that you can stick to, the diet you can stick to and a training plan you can stick to, and you can integrate it into your lifestyle. But it all starts from taking ownership of it. Start tracking it. When you track it, you can adjust it, you can actually measure it, and you can change it. And yeah, so that's kind of my two cents on tracking calories. I don't think you're going to develop an eating disorder from doing it, and you can't really self-diagnose an eating disorder. But yeah, maybe some people get a little bit more obsessive over it than others, but it's your food. Like, you'd obsess about what you put into your car. You're not going to drive your car on empty. You're not going to put petrol into a diesel car. So if you're actually measuring what you're putting into your car and you're not measuring what you're putting into your body, then maybe you should reconsider the way you do things. Yeah, so that's kind of my opinion on it. Hopefully this helps someone, and yeah, thanks for listening.